right. Thank you very much. And hello again, dear radio friends. How in the world are you? You doing all right today? Well, this is your friend, Dr. Cook, and I'm glad to be back with you. These moments that we invest together, we don't just spend them, we invest them because there's a dividend that pays off, doesn't it? These moments we invest together, beloved, are part of your and my link to eternal things. And what we learn as we speak together of God's Word will be worth talking about a million years from now. A lot of the small talk in which we engage day by day with our fellow human beings is lost with the saying, what about the weather, and what about the football scores, and what about the basketball scores, and what about the hockey scores, and what about the politics of the nation and of the world around us? And what about the neighbors, and who's going with who, and what can he see in her? So on down the line. Most of the things we say to each other perish with the saying. But I want to remind you that what you and I say to each other, based on the Word of God, has eternal value and never dies. Jesus, our Lord, said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Forever, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And so you and I are dealing with matters that are eternal. And that puts a different cast on the broadcast, doesn't it? Instead of being just a few moments that slip by so rapidly and then are forgotten, for somebody this very day, it may well be the contact with eternity that makes a difference, where Jesus becomes Lord of some area of your life, where God's power is poured out, where something happens that you and I will remember throughout eternity. That, beloved, is the perspective with which I approach these daily broadcasts. And it's my prayer, as it has been this day again, that God's love and God's truth and God's power may come through my voice and through my heart and mind to you, my dear, dear friend. God bless you today. Come with me then to Colossians, the first chapter. And we're talking about the divine spillover. The divine spillover, filled, and that means filled to overflowing. Filled with joy and peace and hope, filled with all the fullness of God, filled with the fruits of righteousness, filled with the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God in your life, the spillover of God. You and I are not to be eager proselytizers. Jesus had a word of rebuke for people like that. He said, as recorded in Matthew's gospel, ye compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when ye have made him, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Proselytizing always leads to a feeling of frustration. After a person has been converted by eager proselytizing efforts, he or she backs off from the situation and say, I wonder what happened to me. I wonder why I did that. But once you have been in contact with the precious Son of God and the Holy Spirit of God, who comes upon the new birth to dwell in the believer's heart, has filled your life, you know that there's something real and something rewarding and something eternal that has happened in your own soul. That's the difference. And so it's the divine spillover that we're talking about. To be so full of God and so full of His presence and blessing that every contact of life enables you to share just a little bit, or maybe a lot, of that artesian well of blessing that's springing up in your own heart. Jesus said during the great day of the feast, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. You, beloved, have the right to be full of God. Jesus said so. Now that's the background of what we're talking about here. And we've come now to the actual phrase of filled with the knowledge of His will, Colossians 1:9. We've been walking all around some of the other passages, haven't we? But now we come to consider this phrase, filled with the knowledge of His will. First of all, I think we better start where my precious friend Dr. Bill Bright starts in his Four Spiritual Laws. God loves you and has a plan for your life. Our Lord Jesus made very clear that God has plans and that they are prior plans. God has made plans for you from before the foundation of the world. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This were his words. Well then, if it be so that God knows me, he knows my name. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. God knows your name. If it be true, and it is, that the God of the infinitesimal details has assigned a separate number to every hair follicle on your body, and Jesus said so, and he never made a mistake. The divine computer has far more capacity than anything you and I have ever manufactured or used, you may be sure. If it is true, and it is, that God knows you, he knows your name, and he has cataloged every detail of your body and your life, and what happens to you is ordered of God. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, said the psalmist, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Steps and stops and stumbles, said Dr. Pettengill, are ordered of the Lord. Since all of that is true, you and I can approach confidently the questions of every day when we ask, what is God's will concerning this particular? See, you reason not from the particular to the general, but in this case you reason from the general to the particular. God is God. He's on the throne. He's all-powerful. He's sovereign. He is the creator. He made me. I'm the creature. He knows me. He knows my name. He has assigned particulars concerning my very body and my whole life. He knows everything I could say. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows what I'm thinking. Thou art acquainted with all my thoughts. He knows all of my daily schedule. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. This God, then, can be trusted to guide me today. You see the logic of that? I want you to have an experience of trusting the God who reveals his will. You don't have to flounder, beloved. Now, there are some people who claim that once you commit yourself to the Lord as Lord and as Savior, that he allows you to make whatever choices you wish and blesses insofar as he can those choices. I've heard people say, don't bother God with details. That's your responsibility. Well, you and I are up against the age-old problem of the difference between the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. And I must confess I live comfortably by accepting both of these concepts as being true. God has made me free, and he also is sovereign. The point at which those two concepts come together is the point of surrender of your will. When your will and mine is yielded to the sovereignty of God, then he guides you. As you freely make decisions, he guides you to make those decisions in line with his perfect will, filled with the knowledge of his will. You're free, all right, to make all the mistakes that you wish to make, or to make wise decisions, on the other hand. Free, yes, that's true. But that freedom in Christ turns out to be freedom to surrender yourself to him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable to surrender your will to God so that he can guide you, isn't it? Any other tack, it seems to me, is foolish and tragic. To pray in generalities and then to go your own way and make your own decisions is asking, it seems to me, for trouble. Why not realize that Christ has made you free so that you can yield yourself to him, free to serve? Paul says to the Galatians, you've been called to freedom, only use not that freedom as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Serve Christ, serve one another. The idea of freedom to serve, freedom to yield, freedom to surrender to God. Free from the law, O blessed condition, says the songwriter. Freedom to obey, freedom from the constraints of my old sinful nature that had me bound. Freedom from the thought patterns and habits that constituted the matrix of my former life. Free now to say yes, for the first time perhaps, to say a glad, wonderful yes to God's will. That's what this is all about. So he says, filled with the knowledge of his will. You can know the will of God. He has provided that for you. Now, it does depend upon whether you're willing to obey him. We are his witnesses of these things, said Peter, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Jesus, our blessed Lord, said, as recorded in John 7:17, if any man will do God's will, if any man will do God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If you want to do God's will, you'll know. Now this, it seems to me, is a working principle that we must never forget. It's one thing to pray, Lord, guide me, while all the while reserving in your own mind the desire to do what you really wanted anyway. A fruitless endeavor which gets very, very little answer from above. It's another thing to pray, Lord, this is what I want humanly, but I want your will more. Now reveal your will to me, and I give up the right to try on my own. See, if you're willing to do God's will. Percy Crawford used to say when people complained about not being able to do the will of God, he said, well, then pray, Lord, make me willing to be willing. Make me willing to be willing. Pray that. Start somewhere in yielding to the will of God. And when you do, I can promise you that he will reveal to you what his will is for you in any given area. We'll get at this again the next time we get together. Dear Father, today may we know and do thy will. Amen. Till I meet you once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.
You've just heard Walk with the King, the ministry of Dr. Robert A. Cook. This program is listener supported. For more information or to find out how you can help continue this ministry, write to us at Walk with the King, P.O. Box 43, Trumbull, Connecticut, 06611, or visit us on the web at walkwiththeking.org. Thank you for your support of this ministry. This has been broadcast number 6510. Thank you for listening to Walk with the King.